Today was the first day it hasn't snowed in a week, so at least we from Erie praise God for that. This evening, I would ask you to turn your attention with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, is where we will read, at least to start this evening. We'll be bouncing around quite a bit. I always preach a New Year's sermon to our congregation in Erie to help propel us into the new year. This year it's called A Persevering 2018. A Persevering 2018. So we'll start in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. This is God's Word. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May He add His blessing to the reading and hearing of it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth. We would ask that this evening You would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, minds to understand, and hearts to receive these Your words. We ask that You would receive the glory, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Most Erie folks had a bout of perseverance over this week. It all started, I believe, Christmas morning with what we term a Snowmageddon or the Snowpocalypse, which took place in Erie, Pennsylvania. Yes, we are over 80 inches in 1 week. Now, I know that's hard for you to fathom, but picture your mailbox being completely covered in snow all the way, like, over top of it. That's kind of what we've been enduring. I remember I went out to snowblow with my snowblower on Christmas Day. It was Christmas Day, and I started to snowblow, and when I was done snowblowing, it looked like I hadn't even done it. I could have gone over it and over it and over it. Indeed, one of the newscasters said that at one point in time during this snow event in Erie, we got 6 inches an hour. So you couldn't see outside of my house. You couldn't see my neighbor's house. There was that much snow coming down. And for all of us in Erie, the only thing we really could do besides wait for summer, which is what I wanted to do, is just persevere. And go out time after time after time and clear out the driveway. And I did it Christmas Eve, and I said, okay, well, I'll be okay. Or Christmas Day, and we'll probably be okay. I woke up the next morning as there were 30 more inches of snow in my driveway. And it was so bad, I live like on a turn. The snow plow came and plowed the snow, and literally the snow was up to here at the end of my driveway. So I spent 2 more hours getting rid of the snow. We were persevering in Erie. And then on Wednesday, we got another foot. And then on Thursday, we got another foot. And yesterday, we got, what did we get? Another foot. Today was the first day we didn't get accumulating snow in a week. Those in Erie have been learning perseverance in a snowstorm. It's very fascinating that I'm preaching on perseverance, because that's also a Christian trait that we find in the Scriptures, that of perseverance. Christians are to be a persevering people. And my call for you and for me this very day, as we think of 2018, which is very near right now, is to persevere in 2018. The points we'll use this evening are that of perseverance is in the Bible, persevering in the midst of suffering, and He is persevering for us. Perseverance is in the Bible, persevering in the midst of suffering, and He is persevering for us. I'm going to give you a little test. I'm not going to grade you. I'm going to state some lines and some phrases that I'm sure you've all heard, and just in your mind answer if it's in the Bible or not, okay? Here's a couple of them. First phrase, the Lord helps those who help themselves. I know you've heard it. Is that one in the Bible? Yes. Second, the Lord never gives you more than you can handle. Good answer. Third, although I want this one to be there for my three boys, cleanliness is next to godliness, right? You probably heard that. Okay, fourth one. And this is a word, it's an idea, it's a concept and a theology type point we find in the scriptures, and it's that of perseverance. Perseverance. The first three you won't find as stated in the Bible. The fourth one? Oh, you will. You will find it stated in the Bible over and over again. You will see examples of it in the Old Testament, and you will see it put forth as a Christian character trait in the New Testament. And as we're going to talk about perseverance, the first thing we should probably do is just define it, right? What is perseverance? Some synonyms that might be helpful can be persistence, determination, resolution. In the New Testament, the Greek word is hupomone, and it means steadfastness, constancy, endurance. And it says this, in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. That's what's carried with that word, perseverance, in the New Testament. Webster says, is to continue in some effort, course of action, in spite of some difficulty. Other words we find in the Bible are that reflect this idea of perseverance are steadfast, patience, and again, endurance. And many times, these words come into play in the area of my life when I run into that 10-letter word that's like a 4-letter word for most of us. The 10-letter word that's like a 4-letter word. And it's not a word that's used as a great pew filler in churches. And I don't really like the word. But it's a word that the Bible and God's people should not shy away from as we face this word. And the word is this. Sufferings. Plural. Right? Sufferings. Plural. And it's almost always in response to sufferings, plural, that we find the word perseverance. Perseverance. Paul attaches this in Romans chapter 5, in fact, in verse 3 it says, and not only that, but we glory in tribulations. Tribulations is another word for sufferings. Plural. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Peter, a man who knew suffering from personal sins and persecutions for following after Jesus Christ, he says that perseverance is a part of the Christian's faith walk, the Christian's character makeup. He says this in the text that we just read, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. There's that word again. Perseverance. You saw it in the text when you read it, right? So you know it's there. Perseverance, it's in the text. And although it's a different Greek word, the same idea is found in the fruits of the Spirit, right? What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, depending on what version you use, patience, long-suffering. The same idea, isn't it? It's a fruit of the Spirit, perseverance, long-suffering, patience. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And it's to be part of who we are as believers, and yet just as I looked out my front window and watched the snow pile up, and I did not want to go outside again and start up my snow blower because it's just hard, cold, back-breaking work. I can say the same about those words of perseverance, patience, endurance in the midst of sufferings. Because I just don't really like it. I'd rather just not. I don't like any of those words. I don't like to suffer. I don't like the word patience. I don't like to face the hill difficulty over and over again. I want ease of life and I want happiness all of the time and continued prosperity. How about you? But what we find in the Scriptures is that God's good plan for your life and mine often includes sufferings. Plural. Numerous sufferings. It's God's good plan and it contains suffering and perseverance and not prosperity and ease of life. And it's all for a reason. Suffering works in as many things, including the Christian character trait of perseverance. And it really only comes through trials and tribulations. That's where perseverance comes from. Ultimately, we find this godly character trait of perseverance in the one we're called to model. We find the greatest perseverer, if you will, in our great Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says when He was on His way to Jerusalem for the last time to be crucified that He set His face like flint. He knew what was coming. You picture our Savior in the garden, prostrate on the ground, right? Because He knew what was coming. And yet He's bending His will to the will of His Father. And He says, not my will, but yours. The greatest picture of perseverance is Christ heading to the cross. Our Savior persevered. We are called to persevere. And yes, the word and the concept is in the Bible. We've clearly seen perseverance is in the Bible, which takes us to point two, which is in fact persevering in the midst of sufferings. All right, back to my driveway filled with snow. The pile down in my driveway was up to my chest. And guess what I did? I just fired up the snowblower and back out I went. And I watched my snowblower disappear in the snow as I'm going out there persevering against this mountain of snow. And the snow kept coming and we kept fighting it and persevering against it. And that's just such a picture of what it is as the Christian. We persevere against sufferings. We persevere against trials and tribulations and hardships. I'm not saying that you will suffer all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But I know we all go through seasons of life where we have more sufferings or less sufferings. And the call is to persevere in the midst of these trials and these hardships and these sufferings. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles now to James chapter 5. If you find the book of Hebrews, which is a little easier to find, go one more and you'll find James. James chapter 5 and beginning at verse 10. James says this in verse 10, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Suffering and patience. Notice he starts that verse off by saying, my brethren. That's you, right? That's the church. My brethren. Those who follow after Jesus Christ, he says, my brethren, take the prophets, those Old Testament prophets who were called to speak forth the word of God, and we are to take this from them as an example of what? Look back at the text with me. Is it financial and material prosperity, blessing, happiness, and success in all things? Is that what James says about the prophets in verse 10? No! They are examples in suffering and patience. Suffering and patience, not prosperity and happiness. I don't know about you, but at least in my flesh, that's not what I really wanted to hear. Suffering and patience? I don't want to be patient. I'm the guy who stands at the microwave and the minute seems like 2 days, right? I mean, you look at the minute for your hot pocket or whatever. I mean, it takes forever. 1 minute. Maybe you're like me, and yet the call is still the same call as the prophets to follow their example in suffering and in patience, or as Paul says in Romans chapter 12, that we are to be patient in tribulation. Patient in your tribulation. I don't like that either. I want my tribulations and sufferings to be over really fast. Let's move on to verse 11 now. We'll start at verse 10 so we can get back in the text. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Let's continue to look at words I don't particularly like. We found in verse 10 the words of suffering and patience, and in verse 11, another word we find, endure. Endure. I have never been a long distance runner. One of the worst days I ever have in high school, remember, you remember these days, is when it was mile run day in gym class. Oh, really? Mile run day? Here we go. A few years ago, my wife thought, like my boys, that she could, for some silly reason, beat me in a race. They still seem to think that they're faster than I am. So I live across the street from the high school. We went to the football field. I said, let's do this thing. All right, let's race. So we ran like a 50-yard dash of some sort. And of course I won. I beat my wife and I beat my boys. And then she said, well, let's go around the track a few times. I said, ooh, look at the time, right? It's time to go. I don't have that kind of endurance. She would beat me for sure in a long race endurance. But that's the call when we face hardships and sufferings. It's to endure. To endure. Did you notice James says we are to count them blessed who endure? Them blessed who endure sufferings. That's what he says. It says, indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You who have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. We find the example, right? Another example of Job who endured great suffering. That verse tells us that Job persevered. And we see the end of why Job persevered, the end intended by the Lord, his plan and purpose. It was God's plan that Job would have to suffer and persevere. And guess what? If you are suffering right now and you are persevering and enduring in the midst of some sort of suffering, he has plan in it for you and purpose. God has an intended plan in my suffering and in yours. And we see that end, at least with Job here. The intended plan for Job was that he would see the compassion and mercy of the Lord. Right? I mean, you see it right here. James kind of pulls the veil back, right? Why did this all happen to Job? Well, James tells us. So he would see the compassion and mercy of the Lord. Amongst many other things, I'm sure he learned. But the main thing was the compassion and mercy of the Lord. I hope you never suffer. Truly. I hope you see innumerable blessings from the Lord. Right? I do. But I also know the reality of the Christian life, because Jesus says to you, you will have tribulations. You will have them. You will have tribulations, you will face hardships, you will face sufferings. But in that verse, he also says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The prophets are examples of suffering and patience. In the New Testament, the apostles are certainly examples of suffering and patience. And in the midst of this, we are called to endure, to persevere, to be steadfast. And there's good plan in it. God has intended suffering in your life so that you would see, as Job has seen, the mercy and compassion of the Lord. And then do it again. And then, yeah, do it again. And again, with the very intended consequence that you would end up being like Job and you would see the mercy and compassion of the Lord over and over again. And Paul says that when we endure tribulations, it brings us hope. We turn again to Romans chapter 5. He says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Produces hope. And this hope does not disappoint. It does not disappoint. Here's something you can do for each other and you can do for me in the new year. Pray that we persevere. Pray that we persevere. I don't know what 2018 holds for you or for me, at least in our circumstances, but I do know what holds for us that we persevere. Right? We persevere and we endure. That's a great New Year's resolution to have. I don't know if I've ever heard that one, actually. Persevere. We've seen that perseverance is in the Bible. We've seen what it is to persevere amidst sufferings. And perhaps the point that I always want to run to is that He is persevering for us. He is persevering for us. For some reason, my boys like to go out to my recycle bin. And we have empty cans in there, aluminum cans. And I think they want to be like the Incredible Hulk, and they grab the empty cans, right, and they start crushing the cans. Or they throw them on the ground, and they start stomping them. So if you look at my recycle bin, most of the cans are crushed or stomped on in some particular way. They seem to like to do that. Soda cans, when they're empty, are easily crinkled and crushed. Yet not so the believer. The one who has been saved by grace through faith and filled with the Holy Spirit and united to Jesus Christ is not so easily crushed. Yea, you cannot be crushed. In fact, the one who has been chosen of God and saved by the blood of His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, cannot ultimately be crushed. Because the best news that I need to hear and that you need to hear is that Jesus Christ is persevering for you. In two ways, at least, Christ takes up your cause. First, He perseveres against sin in your life. In the ultimate sense, He has atoned for our sins forever. We read in Romans chapter 8 that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He has persevered to the very end in atoning for your very sins, all of them. It tells us in Romans chapter 8, and we also read this, and we read that Jesus is persevering for us to the very end when the sins of our life seek to overwhelm us and crush us. It says in Philippians verse 1, chapter 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He who has begun a good work, the good work of salvation in your life, He will complete it. Paul doesn't say he's confident in you being a really good person. Did you notice that? He doesn't say he's confident that you can be a good American and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get over this sin thing because it's dragging you down. He says, no, his confidence is that He, that is the triune God, that is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, He who has begun this good work in you, namely your salvation, He is the one who will complete it. Your salvation is tied up in the very nature and character of the triune God who has begun a good work in you. Our ultimate perseverance against sin rests not on my ability to fight it, though I must, right? I must fight it. But on God's unchangeable decree that He who has decreed your salvation will in fact finish it out. As Hebrews says in 12 and verse 2, we are to look unto Jesus, who is both the author and the finisher of our faith. He's both the author and finisher. It starts with Him and it ends with Him. Jesus says this to you in John chapter 10. He says, "And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." Well, that's good news. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. Jesus is the one who begins the good work in you and is faithful to complete it. And Jesus says, no one is able to snatch you out of your Father's hand. Jesus perseveres against our sin. He also perseveres in our sufferings and hardship. Just as it is grace that covers our sins, that grace is for us, His grace is also for us in our sufferings when they seek to overwhelm us. It's all of grace. Grace for sins and grace for your sufferings. A few years ago, we were swimming at Presque Isle with the boys. This is when they were younger, so we wouldn't let them get near the water without life jackets, because you never know when they're just going to dart into the lake and start swimming. And what you don't know is, if you've never been to Presque Isle, a lot of times it gets right at the beach, right when you get to the water, it gets deep. And then it kind of gets shallow again. Like there's like a deep spot where the waves keep pounding in. So one of my boys didn't know that, lost his footing, and actually went under for a second, right? He went under and he started to flail about and think he was going out to sea. What he didn't know is that even though he could go under for a second, that because the life jacket was firmly strapped to him, he was going to come back up and I was going to pluck him out sooner or later. Right? But he didn't know that at the time. He didn't know that at the time, as he thought he was going under and going out to sea at the same time. And for the believer, God's grace is like that life vest. It's like that life vest. It's strapped to you. And although you may bob around a little bit, and you may think you're going out to sea, God's grace assures you that you cannot. That you cannot. You cannot outdo His grace. We know that Paul says, indeed, it's God's grace that was sufficient for him. And I promise you that God's grace is sufficient in and through our Savior Jesus Christ in your sufferings. It is. It's His grace that's strapped to you like that life vest. So you can't go all the way under and you can't go out to sea. His never-stopping, never-ending grace. It's His grace. Because He's persevering for us. Christian life is often put in the terms of a race, isn't it? Maybe you've read through some of this. Christian life can be termed as a race, and it's not so much, it's a long-distance, persevering, endurance type of race. It's more like Iron Man, or perhaps you've seen on TV this Tough Mudder thing with these people, just this crazy type of race with obstacles. That's actually more in tune with the race that's being talked about. It's a marathon. The Christian life is a race of endurance and perseverance. Hebrews chapter 12 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us." So in 2018, that's my exhortation to me, and my exhortation to you is that we would lay aside the sin that so easily entangles us and run the race with endurance, the race of faith. Lay aside every weight in the midst of our suffering. Lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. Lay those habitual sins down. And run the race with endurance and perseverance and steadfastness and patience. always knowing that while we are racing and persevering and running and being patient, that He is persevering for us. Paul had this in mind in the book of 2 Timothy, where he's very near the end of his life. He says this, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Dear ones, it's almost 2018. 2018 is a year to persevere. It's a year to run the race of faith that has been set before us. It's a year to endure. It's a year to be steadfast. And it's a year to always remember that He is persevering for us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived the life we could not live and died the death we deserve to die. We thank You for the lessons of perseverance that we learn from the prophets and from the apostles, and certainly from our Savior, Jesus Christ, who persevered to save us from our sins. Oh, Father, give us Your grace to persevere, even amidst whatever we will face in the new year. And we do thank You for the sure promise of eternal life. And we pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.